This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Afternoon, everybody. Listen, don't worry about a thing. Every little thing is going to be all right. I love this song. I love to encourage someone on this beautiful Friday. Listen, aren't we blessed? Aren't we lucky just to be alive? God is good. Good afternoon, everyone. If it's Friday and it's 2 o'clock or shortly thereafter, then you know you're tuning in. Your host, Robin Dawn Lines. Every Friday is fearless. Every Friday is fierce. Every Friday, it is so good to be with you and in your company. Call someone, text someone, WhatsApp someone, let them know that we're on the air. And we have a special show lined up for you. So before we get to that, listen, make sure you're locked in to this conversation. The telephone lines, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Family Islanders, you are not left out. Toll free, that means you don't have to pay. Long-distance fees, 242-300-5720, or just text me at 422-4796 on the text line powered by BTC. I want to say a special good afternoon to all of my Caribbean women in leadership out there. A special good afternoon to everybody that's tuned in and listening. So good to have you with us. A special shout-out to the producer, Chris, in the studio. Big up yourself, Chris. Listen, we have a special show planned for you today. We're going to get into some real conversations about housing and access to housing, because for the last two shows, we've been talking about the cost of living, breaking it down, right? What is impacting the cost of living? What are those major expenses that we need to have an intelligent look at and see what we can do? And so I am so blessed. We are so blessed to have in studio today the man who can answer the housing questions himself. If you got a question about housing, this is the man who could answer it, okay? When it comes to low-cost housing and the government's plan for housing, I'm joined by none other than the incomparable Honorable Keith Bell in the chair, in his suit, with his flag. I tell you, it's a big day. How are you, Minister?
I'm doing well. Good afternoon, Robin. Good afternoon, Chris. Good afternoon, Bahamas. Good to
it
be here.
It is so good to see you. So good to be here. Now, we are going to take some calls, but we'll do that at the latter part of the hour, because I know you don't have the full time to be with us. But Minister, we were talking, like I mentioned to you, just about housing and about the cost of living, about the cost of rent in the country. We got into a little bit about even the exorbitant cost of mortgages, mm-hmm. right? And the high risk where people take on mortgages. But I wanted for you to just kind of lay out what's going on with housing. Where, if you could give it to us in a summary, in a nutshell, what's the current housing policy that's being implemented now?
Well, Robin, as you would appreciate, when we became the government in 2021, the Honorable Prime Minister gave us a mandate in housing. First, it was Jobert Colby-Davis and then myself, along with the Honorable Lisa Rumming, mm-hmm. that we must aggressively accelerate our housing program. And so that we've been doing precisely that, not just here in New Providence, but throughout our family islands. And so we've been building homes, we've been expanding, and we've also introduced what we call our rent-to-own homes as well. And so what we are looking at when we build these homes, we want to ensure that the homes are resilient You know, the hurricanes are becoming more frequent
yes.
and more intense. So all of the homes that we're building have the 40-year warranty architectural shingles. They have the hurricane impact windows. They are they can withstand a Category 5 hurricane. And that is significant. And we try to keep costs down. And that is where the tax incentives have come in, where the government has removed tax on a number of import items, building materials. And, of course, we've also applied tax exemptions to first-time homeowners. We've expanded in a very significant way. So all of those things that we have done to ensure that, first of all, number one, accessibility. Homes are accessible to the ordinary, average, the working class Bahamians. That's the first thing. The second thing is to ensure that we keep costs down as much as we possibly can. And then thirdly, in terms of accessibility and affordability, the government itself is ensuring that it's rolling out its subdivisions. And so we have a number of subdivisions here in New Providence, as well as on our family islands. And when we talk about the development of a subdivision, you know the government has to supply the land or find the land and supply the land. Then we have to put in the infrastructure.
Yeah,
and we're talking about the electricity, the water, the sewer. That has to be done in preparation of a subdivision. And so I am very pleased where we are as a government today with our subdivisions and, of course, putting Bahamians in their homes.
So when we're talking about numbers, what would you say currently, how many homes walk-in ready has been delivered to Bahamians?
Well, again, from we became the government, we've built, up to this point, we have hundreds of homes under active construction at varying stages, up to 90% completed, some already completed and persons in their homes. We have put persons in homes in Eleuthera at Ocean Hole. We have a new subdivision that is just about completed in San Salvador. We've put persons in homes in Central Pines and Abaco, in Spring City as well. We've put persons in home here in a subdivision called Pinecrest behind the E Street South Police Station. We've put persons in homes in our premier subdivision, which is Renaissance at Carmichael. When it's completed, it will be a 300-built-out subdivision, and it would also comprise
300 homes will be in there.
300 homes will be in there, and that would also include these townhouse units, which are for rent-to-own families. That is very significant.
And I want to talk a little bit more about that, when you finish. But you were saying something?
Yes, and certainly we have what is called our newest subdivision, which is Vinspin Meadow Subdivision off St. Vincent Road, as well as week after next, we're going to be having a town hall meeting to move as fast as we possibly can with our Adastra Premier Estates subdivision off Papal Track.
So that hasn't started yet?
Well, we have cleared, and we are now at the stage where we're trying to get our certificate of environmental clearing. And we have, as part of it, we want to ensure that we, as part of it, we have to consult with the public. And so we have our public consultation next week on February 10th, I think, at 7 p.m. at All Brazils.
All right. For persons who are resident in the surrounding areas to kind of speak to.
Yes.
And know of expectations, et cetera,
absolutely.
Et cetera. Now, you talked about houses being 90% complete. I was fortunate enough to visit one of our islands, and there was a government subdivision that I know that was actively being built, but for whatever reason seemed a little slow and even halted. What is there a policy in place where you have instances like that occurring where persons have received contracts to build low-cost homes, but construction stops midway or there's an impediment to construction? What happens to reactivate those things? Because I think in that particular instance, it's been stalled for quite some time.
Yes.
And I'm not sure what the plans are or would be to reactivate that construction.
Well, it really, over the years, over the last 30 or so years, the country has been changing government every 5 years. And this is, I think, the most significant impact on housing or providing affordable housing in the country. Each government that comes in with its own set of new policies. And so the government of the Bahamas, it is one of the basic fundamental requirements of any government is to provide housing for its population.
Yeah.
A government must build homes for its population, especially for the underpinning class and those who cannot afford to go to the private developers and some of the perhaps the commercial banks to get to get a house. And in the last administration, the former administration from 2017, the former administration went to Parliament and said it will not build no homes. And when they came in, there were subdivisions which were actively being developed. There were homes which were being constructed and were near completion. As a matter of fact, in several cases, there were homes which were actually completed in Grand Bahama, in Bahamia. And so when you have a government comes in and they don't pick up where the former government left off with the housing and the housing subdivisions, then you have a major problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that that ever ought to be repeated, a government saying that they're not going to build the homes for its population. But the thing is that one must bear in mind, too, that when you're going to develop a subdivision, you're talking about almost 2 or so years to put in the infrastructure, the sewer lines, the water, the roads.
Is that the fastest it can be done, or is that the fastest government can do it? You know, government has bureaucracy. There's a lot of channeling that goes through, the disbursement of funds from the request of it to disbursement can be some time. But is that the fastest we can do it?
Well, again, it all calls for coordination. I don't know if you can do much with the time. You
mm-hmm.
could. But when you're talking about a subdivision where you're going to build 300 plus homes, where you really want to have an impact, as it stands right now, Robin, we have in excess of 10,000 applications for homes in this country in the Ministry of Housing.
Do you know the divide of those applications? So if we have 10,000, how many persons are applying for homes in Nassau versus, across the Family Islands?
A significant percentage of that, 70%+, is for
Nassau,
for New Providence, because mm-hmm. it's a bit of bulk for the population lives. But the point is that when you're talking about now, if you want to have those numbers I gave, then you're going to have to build a sizable subdivision. And so if you're talking about you're going to build a subdivision, for example, like Renaissance, which is going to comprise of 300 homes, you're talking about a substantial amount of money and time and effort and coordination that has to go into the planning of that subdivision. That is, putting in the roads, then putting in the lines, the water lines, the sewer lines, and then paving and electricity. And so that there in itself, you're looking at a year or more to put in that type of infrastructure.
Yeah, and that's upfront cost to
the
government.
That's upfront cost to the government.
One of the things that, you had mentioned, you talked about the fact that there have been incentives in terms of reducing mm-hmm. the import cost
yes.
for material, particularly certain types of material when you're getting into energy efficiency and hurricane impact
yes.
windows, those kinds of things. When you're talking about government-built homes, does that impact a low-cost home that's going to be built by government from start to finish?
Yes. So the Ministry of Housing, is not charged on the import of materials.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing. So we get these items free, duty-free. For small contractors or contractors building 5 or more homes, they're incentivized. And so they get a significant tax reduction. And so the idea is to ensure that persons are able to source these materials, first of all, and we want to encourage persons to build homes. And so the idea is to ensure that, one, we keep the duty as minimal as we possibly can. And in addition to that, for persons who perhaps want to construct their own homes, there is the first-time homeowner's exemption. And so those are significant savings for the contractor, the big developer, as well as the individual seeking to build their own homes.
Do we see that cost trickling down into the stores, though, where you are purchasing building material local? Because those are persons who are business owners in the construction space, right, who are providing these items for retail sale
mm-hmm.
to the consumer. Do we see that, though, from versus me paying to have my stuff shipped directly, whether I put it in a container, et cetera, or whether I decide I'm going to FYP or JBR or any one of the large business material? Is there a follow through to make sure that these prices are reflecting on the shelves for consumers?
Yes, I think so. And again, you would appreciate that inflation has gone through the ceiling in the entire world. So, for example, I could recall maybe 10 years ago, a sheet of plywood would have cost you somewhere in the vicinity of $15 to $20. Today, a sheet of plywood is costing you between $60 and $75, or all the way up to $85 a sheet.
If you want some good plywood.
If you want some good plywood, yes. And so because you're talking about inflation has really outpaced us, right? Yes, there are the incentives But again, because of inflation, you still see some of these high
the cost
prices.
The cost increases.
Yes.
A lot of people, because, you know, housing, I don't know if we will ever be able to satisfy the demand for houses.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, 10,000, a list of 10,000 applicants who are looking to move into a low-cost home. What would you say is the
low-cost home? All depends on the size. So on
three
average,
bedroom, two bath?
A two-bed, one bath on average may cost you in the vicinity of around $140,000, $150,000.
Two-bed, one bath. So what about a three-bed, two bath?
Let's go with a two-bed, two bath. So you have the two-bed, one bath. Then you have the
two-bed, two bath.
Maybe somewhere in the vicinity of $160,000, $170,000.
So you say two-bed, one bath is between $140,000?
Around $140,000, $150,000.
Okay, $140,000, $150,000. And the two-bed, two-bath is $160,000, $170,000.
Somewhere around there. And then the three-bed, two-bath, you're looking at somewhere between $170,000 upwards to close to maybe $200,000, give or take. Now, of course, it depends on the area. It depends on property size. It depends on the you know, sometimes you'll have different model homes. And so all of those things factor in terms of the cost price, and that is why I gave you that range.
Okay. And for persons who are applying for homes, these 10,000 applicants, we're using that as the working figure. These are persons who have already pre-qualified who have done the initial application.
These are persons who have just done the initial application over the years.
Okay.
And so what we have been doing in the Ministry of Housing now is that, and I want to commend the team in the ministry, what they've been doing is we're eating at the backlog while we're also dealing with current applications to ensure that persons qualify, persons begin to exercise a great level of discipline and prudence in terms of their finances to ensure that they put themselves in the best possible position to obtain a mortgage, to obtain a home.
Okay. Because I know even from working in the legal space, right, mm-hmm. dealing with the Bahamas Mortgage Corporation, mm-hmm. and doing mortgages with the Bahamas Mortgage Corporation, who in my opinion seems to be the premier lending institution
yes.
for persons vying for a low-cost government home. But what that also means sometimes is that the politics takes some effect, because you know where government is involved in things, people don't feel like they need to pay.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a lot of default in the repayment of loans. You have quite a few foreclosures, but you know there's a lot of inaction. They want to put people out of their homes and all of these different things. Are we looking at Bahamians qualifying to be able to meet the financial responsibility that goes with home acquisition? Because that's the thing. You want to put people in homes, but you don't want them to be indebted in a way that they are not going to be able to meet these financial responsibilities. I don't know if there is anything in place, or is it just a matter of qualifying them for where they are when they apply?
Well, let me say this. First of all, I'm very proud of the Bahamian people.
Mm-hmm.
I meet with my mortgage officers. I meet with the teams and the Ministry of Housing regularly, mm-hmm. two and three times per week. And given I look at the application, I look at the spreadsheets, and I'm very pleased to say that a significant number of the applicants and Bahamians are, in fact, exercising fiscal prudence in their finances.
Yeah.
They have their monies ready for, they have their deposits.
These are persons for whom applications have been
yes,
given
yes.
houses.
Yes, and persons,
okay.
as well as persons coming in.
Mm-hmm.
They have their TDSR is exceptionally low.
TDSR.
Their total debt service ratio, mm-hmm. Their salaries. So if they have a loan, it may be something, but it's very small. And again, many times you find that they have funds in the bank that they say, okay, if they're in a position
air
to get
marked them, for this,
earmarked for
this purchase.
This.
Yeah.
They're marked for the purchase. And of course, they have their insurance. They have everything in place and they're ready to go. And so now when the opportunity comes, that is when the government is able to say, look, yeah, we are building a subdivision. We have 200 homes, 300 homes available. Let's go and let's make it available to its populace. And that is what is significant. But I want to say something else, though. This is where, going directly to your question, this is where the rent-to-own comes in.
Mm-hmm.
What we have found, and the average Bahamian will tell you,
mm-hmm.
that rent today, the amount of money they're paying for rent,
they could pay in a mortgage.
It's more than a mortgage payment.
Yeah, yeah.
And so for us, it isn't so much so that persons cannot afford to pay a mortgage. It is just that they need the opportunity. And that is what this Davis administration is doing, providing the opportunity.
I want to get into that so we could talk about this concept of the rent to own so that people can understand it, know what if there is a specific application that would be separate from the regular application.
Yes.
To acquire a home. So what is the, are there any distinguishing factors between these two applications?
There is, you can actually go online or you can come to the office. And the application
is the
same.
So let's share the website. What's the website for persons who are listening in? You said go online.
I'll share it with you in a moment.
Okay.
But the first thing is we do know that there is a very large category of Bahamians who want a home, but they may be making minimum wage. They have children who may be have special needs children. They may be living with aged parents who they're taking care of.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have a number of factors which impact their ability to actually go there and get a mortgage.
Yeah.
These persons, this administration is prepared to give those persons the opportunity and the chance. We're not going to discount or put their applications on the side. And this is where our rent-to-own comes in. And so where we find that a person is able to make a mortgage payment, or they have a portion of a down payment, but they may not have the full down payement,
mm-hmm.
right? $1,000 a month
for rent
for a two-bedroom house, for a two-bedroom home.
So this rent-to-own is going to be attractive or really applicable to the person who has that monthly disposable income, mm-hmm. but may not have the aggregate amount for a down payment?
Yes, as well as they may not necessarily be able to qualify to go to a bank. So for example, right now, you have persons who may be nearing to retirement.
So age being the one factor, yeah.
The major factor in this country are those persons who are self-employed business people.
The
small entrepreneurs who may not have the requisite number of deposits in a particular bank.
You can't show a record of income.
Or if you could show a record of income, it may be seasonal or, you understand?
Right.
But when you look at the individual, the mother, the single mother, has a son who is working. She has a daughter who is working, and all of them are part of that household. And so everybody contribute to the upkeep of that household. So why shouldn't they be put in their home?
Do you have a kind of a collection of resources at the end of the month to pay the rent?
Yes, and that's
what
happens.
But of course, all of those persons aren't necessarily going to the bank.
No.
To say, hey, put a mortgage in the name of all five of us and all of those different nuances. So if someone is listening and they say, listen, this sounds like us. This sounds like my family. Mm-hmm. We live in an extended family home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm working. My siblings are working. Mom is working. We want to have something of our own. What do they need to do step by step?
So, and again, let me say to folks, and this also applies to even like persons in the hotel industry, the tourist industry, even the taxi cab industry,
mm-hmm.
and all of these persons, we've been able to put them in homes. So all you do is go on our website and you apply online, or you come in and get the application. You will sit with one of our mortgage officers. And once you complete the application, we will then do an assessment or an evaluation of your income, where you are. And once we do that, then we will look and you will determine where you would want to be placed. So we have, like I said, we have Renaissance. We've built homes in the Selinden, Pinland Estates subdivision, in all of these areas. And we have isolated properties in Pride Estates,
mm-hmm.
In Fire Trail, in these different areas where we're building homes all over. And so in that context, we're able to say, okay, well, let's put you into this house, or they may say we want to go into Renaissance, or we want to go in another place. And so we look at it. And as I indicated, we are building these town houses in Renaissance, and one of those buildings can hold up to 12 families.
So these will be separate families?
Separate families,
okay.
yes.
Okay,
it's a massive building in there.
So with every new subdivision development that the government is actively doing now, there are houses that are going to be kind of crossed off of the list for
rent
traditional own. Mortgages, and these are just going to be used for rent-to-own applications?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I know a lot of people are in rent-to-own legal agreements now, and that's just with someone who a piece of property, a house, and they are, you know, they've done a rent-to-own agreement mm-hmm. with the yes. person who is currently occupying, and after a certain amount of payments, there's an agreement for them to do a conveyance and to do the legal transfer. Mm-hmm. Is there any space? Because if I understand correctly, the rent-to-own agreement is as between an individual and the Ministry of Housing, because these are all government-owned low-cost
Absolutely.
Homes,
that's,
right?
That's correct.
Low-cost homes, and then, of course, the 12-unit development you're talking about, owned by government. But is there an intention or is there a discussion to expand this to persons kind of, I guess, aligning with the Ministry of Housing? I don't know how it would work legally, but connecting them with a potential purchaser in a rent-to-own agreement, because a lot of times people just don't know how to put themselves on these markets. And again, the demand is always going to be greater than the supply.
Of course.
So bringing it into the public sector in a way where if I own a two-bed, two-bath house, mm-hmm. and I'm thinking about finding a qualified person who can enter into a lease-to-own agreement, is that something that the government would even entertain, or you would prefer that to stay between the owner of the home and the potential or prospective purchaser?
Okay, so I would, and again, as an attorney, perhaps it would be prudent for it to stay between the mm-hmm, owner, mm-hmm. The owner and the possible prospective purchaser, because now it would become a tripartite arrangement with the government.
It could be complicated.
It could become complicated. So either the government purchases the home from that individual, and hopefully we get the home at a significantly reduced price, so we're able to purchase the home, and then we do it as a rent-to-own with the third part, with the prospective purchaser.
Yeah.
But there would be no need for the government to get in it, because we're doing our own.
You have your own agreements going on.
Now, let me just say, Robin, now you've referred several times to low-cost homes.
But I can't even say low-cost anymore. Hey,
you can't say low-cost no more.
Interestingly enough, you know, Minister, I had a caller last week who mentioned that if you have land, if you have the property, you can build a home for as little as $3,000. Now, I was trying to expand on that conversation, because in my mind, when I think about just a simple architectural sketch of a house, by the time you've bought windows and doors, mm-hmm. you know, you haven't even pitched the roof yet or anything of that nature, $3,000 is a drop in the bucket. But that's an interesting conversation. And I think low cost is used only because it is the government's intention to minimize cost.
Yes.
So the building is built with a view that let's make this affordable, not because it's built cheap.
That's correct.
But because the government itself is forfeiting mm-hmm. What could be tax, what could be you know, reserves earned by the government. Mm-hmm. Offsetting that so that the house can be built at a quality level, but affordable.
Course.
Because, I mean, a contractor building the house of equal quality to mm-hmm, the government mm-hmm. is not going to charge you $140,000 or
$160,000.
So when we say low cost, affordable, not in quality, but certainly in intention.
That's correct.
And I think that's the idea.
Yes.
Because, you see, when people are talking about books of living in general, if you have sleep, you have a roof over your head, a roof over your children's head, that eliminates and alleviates a lot of the stress and pressure that people feel on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that when we talk about home ownership, mm-hmm. we have to find as many ways as we can to give Bahamians access. So we're going to continue this conversation. We're going to take a quick break. When I'm back, we're going to talk more with the minister about home ownership, the policies, the plans that are currently in place, and how anyone, including you that's listening, can really access these opportunities. We're going to take a quick break. You're tuning in with Robin Lines. I'm joined by Minister Keith Bell on a Friday. We'll be right back.
Gonna be all right. Don't worry.
For fast reliable and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to
located
life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
City of Miami Gardens presents JITG Music Fest. Janae Aiko, Ludacris, Ashanti, Nelly, Glorilla, Maya, Joe, Nice and Friends, featuring WV, Donnell Jones, Case, Sunshine Anderson, and Kenny Burns, the Isley Brothers, El DeBarge, Stephanie Mills, and so many more. March 7th and 8th, Hard Rock Stadium. Tickets and info at jazzinthegardens.com. Jazzinthegardens.com.
Get ready for the biggest football game of the year, Super Bowl 60. We have the best seat in the house for you. Join Star 106.5 All-Star Team live at Anthony's on Paradise Island on Super Bowl Sunday, February 8th, from 2 to 6 p.m. Enjoy giant screens, delicious fun food, ice-cold Kalig Bear specials, prizes and surprises nonstop. It's the place to be for Super Bowl Sunday. Anthony's on Paradise Island. Watch the Patriots take on the Seahawks.
Touchdown, Seahawks!
The Star 106.5 All-Star Team will be there to cheer you on from 2 to 6 p.m. It's the biggest Sunday of the year for the biggest game of the year, Super Bowl 60, live at Anthony's on Paradise Island. Don't miss it.
Beulah Gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We notch, so we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns, where they hiding the drugs, who shoot who part of which gang, or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles.
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands, or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Rise up this morning, smile with the rising sun. It's by my doorstep, singing sweet songs of melodies pure and true, saying,
this is my message to you.
And we're back. Good afternoon, everyone. So glad you're sticking and staying with me. This is Robin Lines. It's Friday. You're tuned in to Guardian Talk Radio 96.9 FM. We're going to open the phone lines in just a minute because I know you may have some questions for the minister about housing, about home ownership in this country. You may have some ideas, some suggestions, okay? So I want to open the phone lines in just a moment and give you an opportunity. Remember, 323-6232. 325-4316, 325-429. Family Island is 242-300-5720. And on the text line, of course, it's 422-4796. Okay, and remember now, you can stream live on talkradio.com or catch us on the cable channel or ZNS. All right, 969 on Cable Bahamas and 6112 on BTC Flow. It'll be so good to have you join us. So, Minister, you were talking about, you mentioned a little bit too about the Family Islands and what's happening in terms of home ownership on the Family Island and building homes. So can you expand just a little bit more on that?
Certainly.
What's happening out there?
Certainly. So for us coming into government, you would recall that we were visited by a very strong hurricane, Grand Bahama and Abaco which decimated those islands. And so persons were grappling, trying to find homes. And so it was our directive to really go down in those islands to build homes. And so in Abaco, particularly in areas called Central Pines and Spring City, We've been building homes, and we are currently constructing homes in those areas. I should also mention this, Robin, that in terms of affordability, one of the major planks that one must give the government credit for is that the government provides the land to Bahamians free of cost. The government provides the land free of cost. And the government then, to put in infrastructure, it costs the government on average $35,000 per lot. That's owned by government. And that is one way that the government helps to bring the cost of housing down in the country. And so in the Family Islands, these areas, we are actively pursuing and we are constructing homes in those areas as in a very significant way. And in terms of on these islands where we see there is significant investments going on, again, the population on these islands is not big enough to provide the skilled labor. And so you have a number of persons.
You're talking about for a massive subdivision development, you wouldn't have the skill labor for it or the demand.
Well, not so much for the subdivision, but for, let's say, if the government executes a contract for the construction of a new hotel in the Family Island.
You're going to have to import some labor too.
Exactly. Yeah. So the investor comes in and they are ready to construct and they start construction. So once they have started, now they have to find the skilled labor. And so now you have persons now moving from New Providence, where the bulk of the population live, moving back to Eleuthera, going to Exoma to deal with the Emerald Base on those hotels which carried out major renovations and so on and so forth. What we have found is that because the demand for ecotourism is so high, you have a lot of persons coming to the Bahamas for ecotourism, and they want to visit our family islands. They want to experience that laid-back, easy going.
The tranquility of the island.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so a lot of persons are converting their homes and apartments to Airbnbs. And that has significantly caused a shrink in the housing market and the demand to be even that much more higher.
Explain that a little bit more. So the conversion to Airbnb.
So if you have, so you find persons who have apartments.
Not the conversion, I know that. But I mean, talk about a little bit more about how that is impactful.
Yes, I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So you have a person who, a Bahamian, owns an apartment and they used to have it for long-term rentals.
Yeah, I could get it for 2 years, 3 years.
And you get it for 2 years, 3 years.
Yeah.
It's making no sense. Mm-hmm. And they can get $1,000 a night. And so therefore, they decide, I'm going to put my apartment into short-term rentals. And you can pay rent by the day, by the week.
Nightly rental.
Uh-huh. But you're not going to have where you're paying a flat rate on a monthly basis. And so therefore, they have taken it out of the pool of housing of the country. Mm-hmm. And therefore, it causes an even higher demand for housing for Bahamians to try and find a place for their family.
Yeah.
That is a major challenge.
We were actually talking about that the other day and talking about the cost of rent.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about the fact that sometimes the landlords, too, are challenged. So they're converting to Airbnb for a number of reasons.
Yes.
And all sorts of things are going on. But before we go straight to the phone lines, if I am like I had asked, people want to know the steps. Mm-hmm. Because one of the things people say to me, you know, when I'm talking to them about, you know, make sure you fill out the application, make sure you provide all of the documentation that is necessary so you can be listed for consideration.
Yes.
People have said to me, I've been on the list for years.
Yes.
And I've witnessed people who came on the list, as far as my knowledge is concerned, way after me, but they've gotten homes. Mm-hmm. Or I have had this experience where I've been on the list and I've never been contacted by anyone or had my application acknowledged. So I want to speak to those sect of persons whilst you're in the chair, because I think that is something that is worth your commentary. What do we say to those persons? Do they have a point? Is there this kind of internal, I don't want to say... Well, let me let you just answer the question.
So,
you've heard the statement.
Yes,
what are your thoughts?
Of course. Mechanism within the Ministry of Housing. And I want to say that I'm very proud of my appointment as Secretary, Mr. Reginald Sanders, my Minister of State, who I enjoy her full support, the Honorable Lisa Rami, the Acting Chief Housing Officer, Jeffrey Clark, the team of mortgage officers, all of Ms. LeBronson and Ms. Carey and Ms. Adley, all of them, everybody who has a role to play, Ravon Burrows and the IT department and his team. And what we have done is we are now looking at all of, we have imported that data into our database, whereby we are able to now instantaneously respond to the application as we get them.
Okay.
And then we have a team now that is actually looking at the applications to determine where they're most best suited, where they're best suited.
Whether it is in the rent-to-own space,
the rent-to-own or the mortgage,
the traditional mortgage,
yes, as well as the locations. So you do have persons who are applying and they want to move back to the family island.
Okay.
You do have that, and you do have persons who would prefer to be in Vinspin subdivision, or they prefer to be out east in the Selinden Pillin Estates, or they prefer to be out.
Okay.
And so the, as I indicated before, you can go online to our website, which is the easiest thing to do, I suspect.
And the application is there.
The application is there. Once you click on our web, once you go to our website, and the website is www.moh, that is the Ministry of Housing, moh-ur, which is urbanrenewal.com. So I'll repeat it again, www.moh-ur.com. Once you go there, you can apply for your home. All of the information is a very, very simple and reader-friendly website page that you can actually go, and it just tells you what you need, and you just download the documents and you fill out the application and you hit send and it comes to us.
And so that applicant would receive a confirmation verifying that their application as well as the accompanying documents have been received. And they're ready to go.
Yes.
They're ready to go.
And what we're seeking to do even more, because again, we have persons in the office who will bring persons to say, okay, yes, we've seen your application. We see this X, Y, Z, and what have you. And why this is important, and again, I spoke about how proud I am of Bahamians who have exercised significant financial prudence.
Yes.
Is because on average, we have Bahamians who have saved $20,000.
By the time they're ready
yes,
to get their home.
Yeah, they have.
Right.
They're ready to get their home, so they have the $20,000, which is more than enough to qualify them for the deposit for their homes. And so we want to continue to encourage the Bahamians out there to continue to exercise prudence, to continue to watch your consumer debt and consumer borrowing, and when the opportunity comes.
So you can service the mortgage.
Yes.
I want to take it to the phone lines real quick, Chris. I know we have quite a few people that want to call and want to ask some questions or give some commentary. Caller, you're on the line.
Yes, greet you as usual, Minister. And you're guessing the Minister, right?
Yes, sir. How are you?
I have a few questions I'd like to ask, right? One, I commend the Minister for his extensive knowledge on the ministry what he has right now, right? A second comment on, right, that the houses that are built now, they are actually nice. The problem is, right, the Minister is actually spot on with his prices for the low-cost homes. The problem is when you add the interest rates, right, people who are actually wanting those homes are based on the low minimum wage bracket, which they still are not being qualified to get the homes. So now they're forced to get, the banks now are asking for good income, which means that they're forced to actually get married to actually own a house.
Hold on. Now, we ain't forcing nobody, we don't want to force no one to get married for a dual income to get a home. Don't forget
that.
This is why
a lot of banks now asking, because a lot of people are not being qualified because of their income. So now they're asking for a second co-signee.
Yeah. Or guarantor. It doesn't have to be a husband or a wife.
Right. So the best way in that is actually marrying someone who works for government.
You're talking about arranged marriages. Well, I mean, you know, that's with anything. That's the truth, right? That in order to qualify for something, you have to meet certain criteria. And one of the criteria you have to meet when it comes to a loan is to be able to service both the principal and the interest that is going to be applied to those payments. So you definitely, if you are someone at the minimum wage level, it really is going to take some supplementing of your income. it's going to take some increase in and advancements on your earnings. And the good part about that is that there's a lot of capacity building that is available for persons. So if you are at an entry level at a job, you know, you can upskill to earn a little bit more, to shift your employment prospects, because you are going to have to be earning at a certain level to be able to pay a mortgage or even to be able to pay your rent. I'm going to give you an opportunity for one more question.
Okay, yeah. I also commend them on the government, because to me, right, it can't be the bohemian dream to live in your mother's house all the rest of your life or to be in an apartment all the rest of your life, right? But I'd like to ask this one final question. What are the qualifications to rent the home? Because a lot of people there, right, still won't be qualified and still will be late on payments on those because of their salary cap.
I will tell you this.
Thank you. Thank you, caller. Thank you so much.
In terms of what are your qualifications, let me say to the general public, to all Bahamians, do not discount yourself out.
Mm-hmm.
Make the application, and regardless of your financial situation, we are prepared to work with you. We are prepared to sit with you and tell you what path we can actually put you on towards home ownership. Even if you are at minimum wage, this is why we brought in the rent-to-own program.
Mm-hmm.
The rent-to-own program is brought in precisely because of persons who are making minimum wage and they have a number of challenges. The fact of the matter is that you find that these very same persons are paying rents, which are most.
Yeah.
And so we have to reach down and help these people up. The point is that home ownership put you on the trajectory for wealth creation, man. We want to ensure that everyone owns a piece of the rock. Everybody gets a home so that God spare your life to reach an old age, retirement age. You don't have to be concerned with the rent, man.
Now, in terms of the rent to own, what is the, in terms of payment, what are the average payments that people are paying? Or are those arrangements being made specific to the individual applicant?
The arrangements are being made specific to the applicant.
Okay.
So I'll give you an example. We had a lady came into our office, and she was nearing to retirement. She's a few years out of retirement.
Okay.
She was involved in an incident where she got a lump sum. But of course, she was making a very low salary. We were able to take a significant portion of that money, apply it, and so now her monthly payments are $800 a month.
For her mortgage. And,
for her
and
mortgage.
What would be the average timeline for that? We talking 15, 25?
It all varies. And okay. That's what I'm saying. Each case turns on its own set of merits. We look at those applications and we sit with our permanent secretary and our audit department and we ensure that we have a structure that minimizes default. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Minimizes default, and it is not
eligible. On the individual.
So you don't be house poor.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to take another call. Call, are you there?
Good afternoon, Ms. Lang.
Good afternoon, love. How are you?
Good. Minister, the Pacers made us proud last night in that Junkanoo.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Pacers all the way.
Yes, sir. But let me ask you something, Minister.
Mm.
I have a nephew. He is married.
Mm-hmm.
He has his own property.
Yes.
But he wants to know if he can get government to build property for him, with him having the government to hold the property
as
collaterals or as a down payment.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that is why we have the Bahamas Mortgage Corporation. So Lyndon Pinlane created cases like that. First of all, to act as the mortgage department for the Ministry of Housing.
Yeah.
But we have since expanded our policy to ensure that Bahamians who have gone out there and they have exercised again prudence and they have bought their own property. We do have that.
Or inherited a piece of property.
Exactly, inherited a piece of property.
What about the acquisition of Crown land? If a person is able to acquire land through the Crown,
yes.
They would also qualify
absolutely.
For a mortgage.
Yes,
they can build.
Yes, they can build on it.
So you know, and then I don't want people to think Crown land is free. You know, there's a cost. There's an associated cost depending on the size and the location. Of course, it's not commensurate with what you'd pay on average for that.
Yes.
But there's a minimal cost that you'd pay.
Yes.
I want to share some of the text messages with you, Minister, while I still have you in the chair. It says, good afternoon. Minister, please clarify if Renaissance is a government or private subdivision.
Renaissance is a fully government subdivision.
Fully government.
Fully government.
The next texter says, good afternoon. Tell the minister to give each Bahamian an acre of land.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Our old-fashioned construction is too costly for this generation, so get busy too fast. Then the other texter says, with the population of New Providence, why are we not considering condo-style units for sale? That way you get equity in ownership, but the cost to purchase and to maintain would be significantly less and more occupancy on a smaller footprint of land. I'm going to share one more with you. I commend the government for tax relief for duplex and triplex.
Yes.
You know, that was in the last communication.
Mm-hmm.
In that same vein, will the government consider for giving those categories on a res? And I imagine they're talking about a res on real property tax,
yes,
for commercial.
Yeah, we do it every so often. Yeah, you come in and if we say we forgive you a significant portion of your real property tax, we've done it.
There is at the Department of Inland Revenue,
yes,
texter, there is a particular division,
mm-hmm,
where you can go and make those types of requests,
yes,
for a reconsideration of a bill, or, you know,
yes,
if you can establish, you know, what challenges you may be having for reduction, even for payment plans. So go down there at the Department of Inland Revenue and state your case in that department. I'm a contractor and I'm interested in acquiring a contract. Can the minister say, how do I go about this?
Just come in and get registered. You have to be registered with the Ministry of Housing. And, of course, we look at your work and we give you...
Bring in all your credentials.
Bring in
so
the credentials.
Business license,
and your
TCC. Is there also an insurance requirement?
Of course. But, again, we have used a significant number of small contractors to build in Renaissance, to build Vinspin Subdivision, to build throughout the Bahamas.
Okay.
So this isn't anything new.
So come in and bring all of your the necessary,
yes,
documentation.
Yes.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Sick and say, we're talking about the Minister of Housing, about the housing policy and the work that's going on in the Ministry of Housing. We'll be right back.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive conversations. 96.9 FM.
We're back. You're tuned in on a Friday. This is Guardian Talk Radio 96.9 FM. Fridays are fierce and fearless, and Fridays are with me, your girl Robin Lines. I'm joined by the Honorable Minister Keith Bell, the Minister of Housing and Urban Renewal, in the chair with me. I also have my business partner in the chair. We'll let her introduce herself in just a bit. We were talking about housing, access to housing, this whole application process and what people to benefit from what is going on. A lot of young people. Minister, I want to ask you, because the rent to own agreement, or the rent to own this new structure at the Ministry of Housing, this will capture the person who has disposable income to pay their monthly costs, but may not have that lump sum that they would need should they go to a bank, or they may have too much deductions from their salary, mm-hmm, to qualify. The bank sees them as high risk.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
This would also capture the multi-family,
yes,
unit,
yes,
where extended families are living together,
yes,
and pooling their resources,
correct,
for their housing needs. But I want to also talk about persons who may have a piece of property,
mm-hmm,
and find themselves in the same predicament where they don't qualify, right, for the average loan through a commercial institution,
yes,
or simply don't want to take that route in terms of, mm-hmm, are there any provisions either in effect now or being thought about for that person who has a piece of property, may have a small amount of money saved. Are there any services available for them at housing?
Absolutely. And again, Robin, I want to emphasize to the Bahamian people, regardless of your circumstance, regardless of your situation, whether you have a piece of property or not, mm-hmm. whether you still own the property, come in and talk to us. Let us help you put you on the path to get in your home.
Is that by invitation? Is that by appointment? How does that work?
I have an
just
open,
walk in?
Just walk in. I have an open door policy. I try to see as much persons as I can.
Now, Minister, you have an influx of people walking in, so get your mortgage offices ready.
You need to come. My office, I'm in my office 7 a.m. any morning, and people just are there.
You hear what the minister
say? I don't turn them away.
Regardless of where you are. So I have a piece of property. What do? I have a piece of property. I want the Ministry of Housing to build one of these homes that you talk about. Category 5, impact ready. What do I do? How do I go about
it? Let me tell you this. Again, as I indicated, each case turns on its own merits. I can tell you of a particular case where an individual had a piece of property in an affluent area. His father left him a piece of property. Now, he knew that he was making, he was just above minimum wage. He couldn't afford to construct in that area because the square footage which was required in that particular for that particular piece of property mm-hmm. meant that it was completely out of his range. So he came in to determine whether or not we would be prepared to take that property and work with him to put him in one of our homes in one of our affordable subdivisions.
So almost like a swap.
A swap.
So you can take that same property that he has used as collateral for the transfer and build a low-cost home there.
We've done that. We've done it in cases where persons have... there was a case where a lady had two pieces of property. Mm-hmm. And she said, I want you to build a home of one for me. Tell me what you can give me for the next piece of property.
And build a home.
And
there.
Build a home, and then let's see what the difference looks like, and we can work with you. You have all kind of... I'm very proud of the Bahamian people in terms of their ability to have...
To really think outside the box.
And think. And all they need is a little more help to get them past the finish line. And this is what the Ministry of Housing and Bahamas Mortgage Corporation is doing.
So come in. I think it starts with a conversation. So even for persons, like I said, if you have a piece of property... The minister says to come in. There are officers at the Ministry of Housing who have the skill set of any mortgage officer that you'll find in one of the commercial institutions, the commercial lending institutions. So go in there and have a conversation. Minister, I want to address this here. This is a text who says, great day, great show. Me and my wife was at Ministry of Housing 2 years ago. We brought everything that was required, presented bank info and everything. We've been and still waiting on a response. How does the selection process work? And he says, get a number to call because it's hard to reach an agent.
Again, I would give you my number, and I'm not telling you I'm going to answer my phone on every occasion. If I'm in a meeting, I'm in parliament, I'm in cabinet, I would give you my number. My number is 357-7999. Send me a text or WhatsApp, or you can call me, and if I answer or if I will get to the text or WhatsApp, I will ensure that we get back to you.
And connect him with the person he need to speak to. Three?
357-7999.
That is Minister Keith Bell's number.
And I have not changed my phone from election.
So don't call because the minister is extremely busy, but text your challenge or your situation so that the minister can forward it to the requisite personnel in the Ministry of Housing and get you some assistance. We really want to provide some assistance to people, Minister. That's what it's all about in this conversation that we've been having.
Can I interject here? I want to talk a little about this compulsory acquisition and something that the Honorable Prime Minister has embarked upon. And so we started in Fox Hill, where we that in this country, they have inherited a piece of property. Mm-hmm. They got it from their mother, she got it from her mother, and she got it from her grandfather.
Generational property.
But nobody went and probated the estate.
Yes. Right.
So now you're in a position, the house is falling down, or the property is sitting there, and you're not able to do anything with it, because you now have to go and get all of that legal work done in order to have a good title in your hand.
And you have to probate each of those estates to walk that through to your interest.
Exactly. So what we have done is we started in Fox Hill, and those persons been on those pieces of property for mm-hmm. generations. We started mm-hmm. with 24 families. So we compulsory acquired those properties where persons were actually living. Mm-hmm. And once we compulsory acquired it, the Minister of Housing
cured
the title and conveyed the property back to the individual, the rightful owner. And at a nominal fee of $1.
Wow.
And now you have your property papers, mm-hmm. your title deeds, that you're able to go to the bank, you're able to borrow against, wow. or you're able to actually pass on. And that is very significant.
That is extremely significant. Was that. There a requirement for those that sufficiently that they were the beneficial owners of that property?
I've been talking to people who are like 80 years old.
Wow.
They've been trying to get these property papers.
Trying to get it cleared up.
Yeah, trying to get it cleared up and just...
And it has not been cost prohibitive.
It has not been cost prohibitive. And then we went to Mars Island the other day. And
I think it was over 200 persons in the same category.
300.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Really?
And all of that was compulsory acquisition
yes.
and then reconveyance.
And then reconveyed. Wow. I want to commend Owen Curry, our legal officer in the Ministry of Housing and his fine team for the work that they did. They worked overtime day and night trying to get those, and they went back and forth down there to Moores Island. We're looking to move in another area. But I also want to send out a call because a number of persons came to me who have properties in our inner city communities as
under
well as
the same kind
in
of
the same circumstances.
So what do they do? How do they get
come into
this,
the Ministry
the
of Housing and we will put your name on a list. We will get the survey plan drawn up and we will also put you in the batch to move to ensure that we put you in a position where you will have documentary title, which is good in your hand at a nominal fee.
And that they need to bring in or just be listed first and then documentation to follow.
Once they come in, we will sit with them because many of them do not have anything. But everybody knows that that's Miss So-and-so land and
right.
they live there. You know, and so we're able to, through our due diligence process, establish who is entitled to the land. And I want to also expand that. You would know that, again, this issue on the demand for housing is very significant in the country, particularly mm-hmm. in New Providence. In our inner city communities, we have in excess of 10,000 vacant, abandoned, derelict properties.
Yes.
The Ministry of Housing has begun to embark upon compulsory acquiring these properties to provide affordable housing for Bahamians. What is significant about this is all of these properties already have infrastructure. So it means that it's a significant
savings.
So it's
more of a renovation
yes,
as opposed
yes.
to an outright construction.
Well, we have to construct a new home on it.
Yeah.
You know, but the idea is that, again, if it costs us $35,000 or so to put
in
infrastructure
in subdivision,
and the land,
that's right, that's true.
It's already there, yes.
So the utility infrastructure already present. Now, I had a question, Minister, and it piggybacks on what you were talking about with these compulsory acquisitions. The texter is saying this is a very informative show, Minister Bell. Please speak to progress on applications with required documents for 2025 for compensation of land used by government years ago for housing. Owners were not compensated for the acquisition of land.
Okay, so again, what has happened is this. In many of these instances where the government compulsory acquired land for public purposes and for housing, the Ministry of Finance would sit and go through those applications and ensure that the persons are compensated for those lands. I would need to know the specific case that she is speaking of, but I do know of one or two that we have discussed and we are seeking to resolve. But I need to know if the caller is able to supply the information, and then I can look at the case to see exactly what case, what matter.
They're talking about.
They're
so,
talking
caller,
about,
if you're listening, category where you owned land that was compulsorily acquired by government for a government project, and you have not been compensated, please text the minister at 357-7999 text, okay, WhatsApp, and state your case in terms of what your issue is so that you can be connected with the requisite individual in the Ministry of Finance that would be responsible for the actual disbursement of your payment.
Yeah.
All right, there's another texter. Good afternoon, Robin. Great show. Is Renaissance intended to be a gated community? I noticed the gates and security booths. Is that, Minister, because of construction or is that intended to stay?
So the only gate that is there is to the service entrance road. To the main subdivision entrance, which is a dual carriageway, there is no gate. It is not intended to be a gated subdivision.
All right. Thank you. Let's take one more call. My business partner, Richette, for 10 minutes, and then we're going to talk a little bit about quieting titles.
Well, I want to ask the minister
you have a
question
for the minister.
Yes.
So you just wait. Let me get to this call a little bit on hold. Chris, let me take this call, please. Caller, are you there? Sorry
Hello?
For the hold, love. Hi.
Hi.
What you say?
Miss Lang.
Hi, baby.
Oh, what's up, baby? Now, how
oh,
you
Jesus.
Doing?
Hi, sir.
Hey, Minister Bell, how you doing, man?
I'm okay, son. You?
I'm great, Miss. That's Miss Presenti in there. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Everyone in the studio, everyone in your studio and all your listening.
Good afternoon to you too.
Hey, Minister Man, listen, man. If you want to get this 100-time F&M voting guy to vote PLP, tell Robin Lang something nice with me. Something might could work. Minister, I got 2 quick things for you, man.
Okay.
Minister, the government still have something in place where first owners could actually get $40,000 back.
He's talking about the first time. You're talking about the first time homeowner's exemption?
The exemption?
Are you talking about the building materials?
I don't understand.
You're talking about, when you say cash back, well, I know that there's also a provision where if you are acquiring, if you have purchased, building material for the purpose of building your home as a Bahamian citizen, but you did not benefit from the tax exemption, you can apply so that the taxes that you may have paid can be reimbursed or credited to you.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Up to $40,000. Yeah, so that may be what you're talking about.
I misunderstood. Yeah. Minister, we dealing with a population, a Bahamian population with not the majority, but a huge number is now on minimum wage. And we know the minimum wage is $260 a week. Minister, we can't make it possible to try and provide for some poor, hurting Bahamian people, rather than us building houses where I think a caller spoke earlier about the interest rates for this and that and all of that, the money they'll spend back. Why can't we just open up and just give? Because Ms. Lang spoke about a caller who spoke to a couple of days ago and said that a home would be erected for like some $3,000. And I think it's durable. It mightn't be $3,000, it might be a little more, right? But it's durable. And Bahamian people rather build something on their own property. Why can't we just, instead of hiring persons to build houses, why can't we just make those lots available to poor people? So there's so much of us poor and really we can't handle the $170,000 you spoke about earlier.
Okay.
I have one more thing.
Now you got to let the minister answer the question so he doesn't forget, because I already forget your first question. So Minister, answer that one first.
Yes. So very quickly, well, we have lots that are available in some of our family islands, and very shortly, big lots in a subdivision called Little Harbor Subdivision in Andros. We have like 160 lots there. We're going to be selling them for all of the infrastructures in, the roads, the light, the water, and everything, between $15,000 and $20,000 per lot. That's if you want to go back home to Andros.
To build,
we do have in several other areas. In New Providence,
Minister, just to interject before you go on. And these are single-family lots multi-family lots?
Most are single-family, but we do have multi-family lots in there.
Okay.
In New Providence, the demand is for housing. Now, after the government has provided the land free, has put in all of the infrastructure, which is costing the government $35,000 per lot, I would believe that the most practical thing for the government to do is to provide a home for the Bahamians to live, because we have a significant backlog of applications. As it relates to providing land, we have time now. I just came from a conference of the ministers of housing in the Caribbean and Latin America. And all of them are looking to the Bahamas at our building code. Mm-hmm. There was a very devastating hurricane which visited Jamaica and several of the Caribbean islands, which decimated several of their new subdivisions. If you were to go online and Google it and look, you will see where once the whole subdivision, nothing is there. Wow. So these countries are coming to us to look at our strict building code, to bring their codes up to standard.
Which we have revised and strengthened in the last...
So I commend the Ministry of Ministry of Works for the work they have done and all of the technical professionals to get our code. Our code is even stronger than that of Florida.
That's right. Give me one more question. Because I want to take another call.
We set the standard.
Okay. This is my last question then. Minister.
Quickly.
I'm glad both you and Ms. Lang is in studio today, because I know we wouldn't have had this from you all, right? Possible that a minister could go around the House of Assembly or any kind of approval from the House of Assembly to borrow some $20 million to do a home project, I mean a subdivision project, from some third party. How is that allowed, Minister?
Thank you, caller. You have to be more specific. And let me say, I've heard, and I think you may be going in the direction of what I heard the opposition talking about, throwing out this $20 million and talking about Renaissance. I invite any Bahamian to go and look at Renaissance Subdivision, which was started by the FNM government. They didn't do anything to it. It sat there. And the PLP government came in. We put in the infrastructure, developed it. And now we have Bahamians in homes in that subdivision in the quality of home fit for a king and a queen. And so if you go on Carmichael Road, right before you get to Spikenard Road, just take, look to the right. There's one dual carriageway to the right. Drive in there and have a look at the homes yourself of those homes. Very, 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 very nicely built, aesthetically pleasing. And you, when you go in there, you will see a condo, Tano-styled, rent-owned building almost completed. Go and have a look for yourself. Then you can come and talk to us.
Thank you, Minister Pisani. You had a question. Listen, I'm joined in the studio. We were supposed to have, you know, talk about the first half with housing.
Yes.
And then get into the Quieting Titles Act, because I wanted to look at that act and see how we could change that, modify that to make land more easily accessible to the average Bahamian, but we may have to do that on the next show.
I think so.
But you had a question.
I had a question.
You got to introduce yourself, Pisani.
Richette Pisani, hailing all the way from Harbor Island. I just love to add that part because I'm so proud of you.
They proud of you too.
Yes. Mr. Bell,
yes.
You were talking about the compulsory acquisition, and I thought about this idea of the government coming in and assisting citizens, the acquisition of homes that they've lived on for years and years and years. And I think that's such a great initiative because, as Ms. Lines was mentioning, I deal a lot in quieting matters. Mm-hmm. And in Harbor Island, for example, a lot of the inner city persons have lived in their homes for years and
they don't have title documentation.
So I've been trying to assist a lot of persons in getting title regularized through quieting.
Yes.
But what you've mentioned is cheaper because now...
And it's faster.
It's faster, absolutely. So are you guys thinking of doing something like that on the other islands?
Absolutely. I would ask you to just simply write to the Honorable Prime Minister. And I'm sure you would get a response very quickly and very favorably.
Awesome. And it may be good to list the persons who have that, because what that is generational property.
Yeah.
So list the persons who have fallen into that category,
yes.
because you have to make sure that they have a right to acquire.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Because one of the things, application, which we're going to talk about that in another show, but one of the things that one of the mechanisms to avoid someone being dispossessed of a beneficial interest is the need to advertise the notice of your attempt to acquire so that anyone else who feels as though their beneficial interest or their possessory title or other is stronger than yours, they can compete. Yeah. They can actually join the application and say, hey, no. This ain't his grammy property. This is my granddaddy property. And, and you know, the court then, having all matters considered, can make a determination. Is there a safety mechanism between the applicant and the government actually compulsorily acquiring and releasing title to ensure that this is the right person to receive it?
Yes, we do tremendous due diligence. And that is why... When we went down to Moore's Island... they were back and forth, at least they were there.
Yeah, talking to your mic, Minister, thank you.
That is why when we went to Moore's Island for Fox Hill, we were back and forth and we sat with the persons, we sat and we did our own investigations and inquiries and made sure that the persons who were the recipients of the conveyances from the Ministry
of
Housing were the rightful persons.
Are there any public notices that are... Okay,
no public
notices. We get
supporting documentation. Okay. We get everything what the person can possibly provide to us. And then we do our own individual and independent research. But again, going back, for example, like Harbor Island, I'm very familiar with that. There is hardly any vacant land down in the area
There's no vacant land.
Only feet to walk.
So everybody knows who owns the the house on Palmer Island. And so it won't be an issue in terms of, in my view, too much in terms of ownership, as opposed to cutting through all of that red tape to provide them with a proper documentary title.
And this is because what we were talking about with the Quieting Titles Act is that it is cost prohibitive to anyone who has the beneficial ownership, who meets and checks all of the boxes, but cannot afford to pay for things like survey. That is required.
Yes. An attorney,
the notices, and Ricchetti and Cheap, all right?
20 years.
20 years of knowledge. You could pay for that.
I'm telling you, right?
She's charged me 2 minutes, so I can't even get it.
No.
But we want to really look at that, and I think this is the answer to that in such a profound way. I want to take one or two other calls, Minister. You may have to stay for the hour. You say you can't stay. Lord of mercy, what is this? Lock the door, Chris. Carla, are you there?
I am.
Hi.
I called in, I think, last week on your show to talk about the government's housing policy.
Yes, you did. And the Rent Act.
One of the points I made is, has the policy been amended? Because I think that we're still in the past where we're trying to give everybody a piece of land with they have their own backyard. And what I feel, especially where the majority of the population is the New Providence, is eventually, the lack of land is going to have to force the government to re-examine what its national housing policy is, especially on the island of New Providence. And when I called in last week, one of the things I suggested is we need to use something other than, we have the legislation, we have a Condominium Act, we have all of these other types of acts that allow for the government to create housing in a vertical way, as opposed to trying to create housing in a horizontal way, giving everybody their own backyard, which physically is going to be impossible to do in another maybe 5 years. Mm. The fact of the matter is, if you try, and I'm glad the minister, I'm sorry, minister, I should have addressed you, because you have to give all the way on his due. Good afternoon, minister.
Good afternoon.
Yes, but honestly, what is the government's intention concerning its housing policies, national housing policy, particularly with the island of New Providence, where the price of land is skyrocketing, where 5 years ago I maybe could have bought a piece of land off the Carmichael Road Strip for maybe $50,000, $60,000. When you check now, it's $120,000, that same size land that was that price 5 years ago. And when you have a policy would appear to be, in my view, that we're going to take as much pieces of acres of land and give everybody a backyard. And then what happens when the inventory runs out in terms of land? What is the government's policy going to be?
So, again, thank you for your recommendation. This is something that we have considered, and it is not something which I would not say that we cannot consider and we cannot do. And I do believe that if you were to go in Renaissance again, the start with these townhouses concept that we are building is the first step in this direction. Bahamians, generally, we like our space. We like our space. We want our yard. And you're talking about a cultural change for now for the working class, the average Bahamian, to want to live in these
condominium style,
or these multi-family buildings.
Thank you, Carla.
In addition to that, when you talk about building these structures, for example, you have to take into account the fact that, okay, now how are we going to deal with the HOA fees?
Yes.
That is a major challenge in terms of the maintenance of these buildings. Last year, I traveled to Israel, and their president, he's building a whole new city because the current city has become, Egypt.
Okay.
Egypt. The president is building a new city, and I think it's costing a couple trillion dollars.
Wow.
But when he finishes, about 35 million people will be able to move into their apartment buildings.
Mm-hmm.
But we were able to drive through the slum, and then we went and looked at the new city. And the challenge for those high-rise and those structures is that one of maintenance.
Yes.
That is a major problem.
Because the thing is now you have a joint structure servicing multiple occupants.
Yes.
Who fix the roof, who deals with plumbing, electrical, and paint, the children. Land, yard maintenance, you're right.
All of those. Who deal with the insurance?
Insurance is a big thing.
Because for me right now, I know, for example, in a house, the average home insurance for catastrophic insurance on the for 1,500 square foot house is somewhere around $3,000-$4,000.
Yes.
So if you're talking about building that size, you know you're talking a significant sum. How that? Mm-hmm. The insurance company isn't going to parade that and say, look, everybody has to pay X. A homeowners association have to get that money and pay that.
And then divide it.
And then divide it. Now, how are you going to ensure that everybody pay?
Absolutely.
But not just everybody pay. How do you ensure as well is that you're keeping it within a cost bracket.
Yes.
That makes it accessible. Also to the average person. The affordability changes and shifts depending on the type of model. Mm-hmm. Because again, once there's this kind of joint building, joint interests, there has to be joint expenses. Mm-hmm. And we in the legal space, we are constantly sending demand letters and dealing with debt collections for homeowners associations for defaulting in fees and payments and that kind of thing. But that's definitely an idea. It may not be for everyone.
No,
it may be that you're starting to classify and create tiers.
Yes, tiers
of housing. So for the young professional who may not have children, you know, living alone, for the commuter,
mm-hmm.
right, who may be back and forth between businesses here and there. So these are the various housing models.
It has to come.
Will definitely be attractive.
And it's happening already.
Attractive
it's happening
to
already.
The type of person. I want to take another call. I have so much text. I'm going to try to get to as many of them as I possibly can. They say, Minister, they back on this whole question of an acre of land. They said, people, you know, you give people's land for farming. They don't farm, but I want an acre of land to build a home. I wanted you to think about that and answer that. Caller, are you there? Who's on the line, Chris? Hi, caller. How are you? I'm good. The girls are calling today. I tell you so. What's up?
Yes, because Mr. Keith Bell, Minister
yes, ma'am.
Keith Bell is on.
That's
but
right.
Yes, I wanted to make a statement, and then I wanted to do a correction. The statement is, I know under the Menace Administration for a Housing Plan, and I do believe that it's still in effect, and this was the caller before the last one, if you are in a government facility, you do not pay
property tax. Or
you don't pay not the property taxes. You're duty free with all of the items, but you have to live inside. And it's Googleable. I can't remember the name of the actual act. So there, if you're living inside of a government complex, you are, I think, duty-free with your stuff right down to the percolator.
A government complex, or you mean a government-built home?
That's the statement that I wanted to make. Well, I wanted to make that correction to let him know that. And the other thing, Minister Bell, I think you were incorrect about Carmichael. When the PLP came into power, 92% of the infrastructure was completed. And I mean, as a Bahamian, we're trying to make it seem as if the F&M government did nothing because they just didn't want to. I think saving lives at the time was a bit more important than building homes when people were complaining that you can't eat roads, and they used that as a mechanism to, you know, boost the economy. So let's not make it, we're being disingenuous when we say that, oh, they didn't build any homes, oh, like as if they didn't want to. I think there were more pressing issues going on at the time, and 92% of Carmichael Village infrastructure was completed when the PLP came in power. Thank you.
Thank you so much, caller. Thank you. I'm going to take another caller.
So, no, let me answer that caller.
Just
let me just put it
in
perspective, because she sought to correct me and say I was disingenuous. Let me make myself very clear. The Honorable Prime Minister, Hubert Minnis, got in Parliament and said at the beginning of the term that they were not going to build no homes in his administration. He said that. He said that in Parliament to the Bahamian people. That is it. That's the first thing. Secondly, they were the government from 2017. They increased VAT on the Bahamian people by 60%, and they collected in excess of $219 million before Hurricane Dorian hit in 2019. And therefore, they cannot account for the money. When COVID hit in 2020. So what did they do with the money before the hurricane and COVID hit? It's as simple as that. The average Bahamian can do the simple maths. So I ain't trying to sugarcoat nothing, but we are here to talk about housing and what this administration has done. Trade Bahamian people, that we have built homes, and we are asking for a second term. And we're telling the Bahamian people, if you want a home or you want to see more homes built, then we ask you to give us a second chance.
I'm going to take another call. Call, are you there? Call, are you on the line? All right, we might have lost that caller. Call, are you there? Hello, I can hear you. Can Hello? You hear me? Hi.
Yes.
Yes, you're on the line. This is Guardian Talk Radio. This is Robin Lines.
Yes, I wanted to speak to the minister.
Yes, he's here.
Good afternoon.
Hi, yes, good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
Minister, could you give me that number again? Would you give him? Just sure. Like put it down. I'd like to call you, please.
Yeah, 357-7999.
Remember now, the minister was saying text. That's a WhatsApp number. So make sure you WhatsApp.
Is there any number I can reach him by calling him?
Yes, you can try calling me. If you don't get me, then send me a WhatsApp or text.
Okay, so give me the number again, sir.
3999.
Okay, 357-7999.
Yes, sir. Thank you, caller. Thank you. Caller, are you there? Hi.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good afternoon. How are you doing, Robin?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Good afternoon, Minister Bell. How are you doing, sir?
Good afternoon, sir, as well.
All right. Well, I'm going to keep mine short. I'm very proud of the work that both your predecessor, Minister Colby Davis, and yourself have done, continue to do, and the plans that you are putting in place for the future as it relates to housing in the Bahamas. As we know, the former administration, they didn't do anything in the line of housing, and that's just a fact. You know, facts are stubborn. Some people may not like how the truth sounds over the national airwaves. But as an administration, we need to do more of what you are doing today, Minister Bell.
Thank you,
we
sir.
Need to get on the podium and shout as loud as possible all of the work that is being done on behalf of Bahamians. And I'm very proud of the work that you are doing in housing, preparing Bahamians for their single investment in most cases. And that's a phenomenal task. And it takes a phenomenal administration with heart and soul to take on the burdens, to take on the expenses, and to pass on those savings to Bahamians, to ensure that Bahamians can realize the Bahamian dream of owning their own condo, or whether it be in the form of buying the property and going about it in a route that is most feasible for them, as you were doing in Abaco and as you were doing on the biggest island in our chain.
Thank you very much.
Continue the great works.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
And you're coming out of the Bahamas.
God bless you too.
Thank you, caller. We're going to take one more call, Chris, please. Caller, are you there?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi, good day. Ms. Lyons and Minister Keith Bell.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon to you.
How are you doing?
All right, sir.
And Ms. Percenti.
And Ms. Rochette Percenti?
That's it. Yes, sir. Nice.
Yes, I know Rochette Percenti with the case, with the quieting case from Fortune Hills in Salvador, right, Ms. Percenti?
you had a question or comment, caller?
Yes. Mr. Bell. Yeah, Mr. Bell, I know you personally. This is Dennis Rice Baffer.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Minister Bell, the lady that called earlier about that Carmichael Road development, right, who said the infrastructure was in place. And you said that the minister said they were not going to build any houses. If they started that initiative and put some infrastructure in place, and it was their intention with the COVID and with Dorian, and when he shortened his government's term, y'all have basically been in power for 4 years, 4 months, and today makes 14 or 2 weeks, right?
Yes, sir.
That's the 16th of September.
Mm-hmm.
no Dorian, no pandemic, and y'all got what where y'all have gotten with the Carmichael Development Project.
So we have. Yes, sir.
Could you please tell the Bahamian people money exactly was spent on that development and who are the persons with the company they call? Because Pintad referred to the company, some out of Jamaica, some ghost company. That's all I want to ask.
Thank you,
so,
Carla.
Yes. So I would have addressed that publicly. I laid a communication in Parliament. If you were to go at the Carmichael Village, and I've invited every Bahamian to go and see and touch and feel for themselves and talk to the Bahamian families that are in homes in the Carmichael at Renaissance Subdivision, you will see the 12-unit condominium buildings going up. You will see hundreds of homes under active construction. You will see in excess of 60 homes completed with families in them. The government has spent in excess of $20 million, and the Quantity Surveyor's report is there to say that the government is exercising a very high degree of transparency and accountability. But above all, we are putting their homes.
Thank you, Minister. Minister, I have a text. I got to go through a couple of texts just to make sure we get as much feedback from the public as possible for these kinds of conversations. Now, in relation to the compulsory acquisition, is there a way that someone who is actually actively doing something with their land, can they prevent the acquisition? Because this text is saying, I have a piece of land in Baintown, but I see a notice being put on it, but I'm keeping it clean and doing something with it. I think they're talking about preventing a compulsory acquisition.
Yes, so as the as we go in those areas and we put up the sign, we do have a number of owners who have come in. And they have sat with me, I've sat with them, I've asked them to just write a letter and indicate what they're doing with the property. And once they have demonstrated that they intend to use the property and they can show proof of ownership, then the government will stand down from acquiring the property.
Okay. And so they'll go into the Ministry of Housing?
Yes. Come in, produce your title documents to prove that you're the owner, and just write a letter to me.
Okay. All right, another type of derelict cars, but I think that's environment.
Go ahead, let me have the derelict
cars. But he wanted to know what is the intention to deal with all of the derelict cars that seem to be mounting, particularly in the inner city.
Yeah, so I'm working very closely with the Honorable Minister of the Environment, Zane Lightman, and the Department of Environmental Health. And what we're doing is we've gotten the Prime Minister to give us a 10-acre tract of land where we want to move these roadside garages out. But we want to also, we don't want them to move these derelict vehicles with them. And so we have started a very active campaign to remove these derelict vehicles from out of the inner city communities, particularly where they are. If the caller or anyone knows where there are derelict vehicles are being housed, just, you have my number, send me a WhatsApp, take a picture and send it to me, and we will have it moved.
Okay, and if you can, probably send a location pin.
Yeah.
So that the persons who move the vehicles will have an easy way to find it.
Yes.
This text is saying, what about waiving taxes on building materials to fix up inner city buildings?
Yes, it's being done. Both governments, and let me say, Minnis administration as well as the Davis administration has been doing that. That isn't anything new.
Yeah. This texter was asking about the age factor in the Ministry of Housing. They're saying, what is the age factor when applying? But I think you answered that question when you talked about those particular persons being more suitable for the rent-to-own agreement, because then their age is taken into consideration in a package that
of
is
individually
catered to them. So please, if you are at an age where the banks, the traditional lending institutions, are telling you that you would not qualify for a 15, 20, 30-year mortgage, please visit the Ministry of Housing so that they can speak to you about the options that are available for you to realize the dream of your own home. You had any questions, Ms. Percenti?
I did have another question for Mr. Bell, and it's in relation to the public purpose. So how do you justify those homes that you're acquiring just to, as you guys are doing, assist Bahamians with getting home ownership?
Yes.
How do you justify the public purpose requirement?
It's very broad. Mm-hmm. It's very broad, and that is what is good about this. It's very broad. And again, these are, in fact, land that person are actually living on. This is, they've asked us to come and reconstruct, to demolish their old home and put a new home there. And so they fall within the category of housing.
Awesome. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, someone is asking about Heritage Subdivision on the island of Grand Bahama.
Yes.
Are there any plans to bring that to completion?
Well, Heritage is privately owned. It's not a government subdivision.
Okay.
But the government has some lots in there. And we have the plans are being permitted now for a number of lots in there, as well as we are in discussions now with the Grand Bahama Port Authority to acquire a significant number of lots in there.
All right. So, Carla, so Heritage Subdivision is not government-owned, but government has lots within the subdivision that they're actively seeking to have some construction started on. All right. I hope that addresses your question.
If the caller is desirous of purchasing one of those lots, then they can also write to the Ministry of Housing, and we can look at it.
Say it again.
If the caller is interested in purchasing one of our lots in Heritage Subdivision, they can write to me as the Minister of Housing, and I can consider the applicant.
So there's also a possibility of purchasing.
Yeah.
If you can raise the capital to be able to build, mm-hmm. then you can purchase, all right? So I'm going to take one more call. Call, are you there? Hi, call, are you on the line?
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, I'm okay.
I just need you to turn your radio down just so you don't get that feedback.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Good afternoon, folks.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Mr. Bell.
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like you, could you repeat your number again, please?
Sure. 357-7999. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and that's your...
That's my personal phone.
If I ever call you, I can get that.
If you call me, I may not answer all the time because I may be in a meeting. Tuesdays is cabinet, Wednesdays is parliament. But you can call me anytime from 8 o'clock in the morning. I try to answer, or you can send me a WhatsApp or text.
Okay, no, I only want to explain to you why, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a senior citizen. I'm going to be 64 years old. I have applied for the little small home repair.
Yes, ma'am.
I was a government worker.
Yes, ma'am.
Retired now, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to call the people name back, you know, downstairs from you. I
yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. I've tried to see you. They say you're in a meeting or whatever. Okay?
Now, the good thing is you have the cell phone number now, so make sure you call, text, or send that WhatsApp because I want you to get connected to get the resolution you're looking
for.
Yeah,
but I only want to say to Mr. Bell, mm-hmm. please, can I leave my number with you?
Yes, ma'am. Give it to me.
You want
to
say your number over the radio?
I don't mind.
Okay. I want no suitors harassing you. What's your number, my love?
Nobody can know.
What's your number?
Okay. It's 801.
801. 7550. What's your name, miss?
Yes, and it's JD. That's it.
That's it. Okay.
JD. Thank you, JD. Thank you for calling. Thank you for calling. Minister, one of the texters had a concern about the clearing of land
mm-hmm.
and the removal of all of these significant trees in terms of green spaces, etc. So the texter was saying, is there any way that we can leave these large trees? I guess if it's not an obstruction to construction.
Yes.
That'll be something definitely that is always considered.
I've seen in, and I love trees, I've seen in the Turks and Caicos Island where they have passed a piece of legislation that prohibits you from clearing the land completely. You're mm-hmm. only allowed to clear the area where you intend to construct.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something I've recommended to the Minister of the Environment and to my government to do as well here.
Okay, thank you, Minister. Another texter says... Let me see if I could get this. Minister, when will Carmichael Road be paved? The road is terrible. We really need the entire road paved.
So,
and how can I purchase one of these properties from government, the ones they are acquiring? Remember, the minister said mm-hmm. you can write to him as the Minister of Housing for the purchase of any lot that is presently owned by government. So specify where the lot is, whether, you know, with the name of the subdivision, et cetera, and make your case in the letter for a favorable reply and consideration. So Do you have any answers to those questions, Minister?
Well, I think the caller's talking about the properties that we are compulsory acquiring in the inner city communities. We do have persons who live in there, and they've taken, you would see a nice home, and they're taking care of their home. And right next to them is a derelict, abandoned property, an old building that we have cleared up or we are compulsory acquiring. Yeah. And so we have had a number of persons come in, and as you indicated, just write a letter in to the Minister of Housing, and we could consider as to whether or not we could we should consider selling the property to you.
One final question from me, Minister, because I love the idea of the compulsory, but I think we also have to look at simultaneously persons having access to continued access to low-cost rental accommodation. Mm-hmm. Because again, what happens is as you move, as you build, as you develop and improve, the cost of those properties also go up. And so gentrification is also a possibility. So for persons who may say, and again, you spoke about the rental crisis that we may start to face because of the conversion of rental property to Airbnb, now we have to look also at increasing rent in certain areas, because those areas have started to develop, they're nicer. So, you know, I mean, we have to kind of have a look at what alternative remedies would be available for persons who need to access low-cost rent, not just homes that are affordable, but also rent that is affordable too.
Sure, certainly. So again, well, first of all, you would know that this government, Davis administration, we passed the Urban Renewal Authority Act last year.
Mm-hmm.
And they have specific provisions which prevent gentrification in our inner city communities.
Well, that's good.
So we are very clear with that. That's the first thing. The second thing is, in some of these properties which we are compulsory acquiring, you would note that we do have government rental units
in these areas.
We have the Sutton Street complex. We have the Windsor Lane, which is known as the Big Yard. We have the one on E Street by Epic Battery. Mm-hmm. And you would take note that this is the first time in 30 plus years that the government has actually, in a very aggressive way, cleaned up its buildings.
Yeah, I see a lot of fresh paint.
Nice. Yes, we've changed the windows.
New gate, yes.
Yes, we've done all of that. And so, again, we're looking to expand that, particularly for our senior citizens and the elderly.
Is there any plan to build more?
Yes.
Because the Department of Social Services, particularly after the pandemic and the closure of certain businesses, loss of jobs, there was quite a demand for rental assistance through the Department of Social Services.
You're correct.
And for those that don't know, what the Department of Social Services does, if you apply and qualify, you can ask for rental assistance.
Yes.
So they would actually pay rent directly to your landlord.
Yes.
So, I mean, but if there are more government spaces available for short-term rental for persons who just need a chance to, get back on their feet, strengthen their financial ability, more of those would be a great idea.
Absolutely, and you're correct. And that is something, again, that the cabinet is actively considering.
Well, I'm happy to hear it. Listen, we are out of time, but certainly not out of talk. We gotta try to see, because we didn't even get into the quieting as much as we would like to. But we have another conversation for that. And if you have more questions, I'm gonna have to drag the minister back again. He's always open and available and anxious to speak to people about what the plans are. And so I thank you so much for your enthusiasm and having such an interactive conversation. You make the conversation what it is.
Thank you.
Thank you for everyone who's called and texted. Thank you so much for the Honorable Minister Keith Bell for agreeing to be here. Thank you for Ms. Richette for the conversation. It's a Friday, and so I want you to be safe. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy your evening. And remember, if you're going to say something, make sure it is checked against those three tests. Is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? Because life and death is in the power of your tongue.
Amen.
And you have to know that what you say means something.
Yes.
So make sure if you're talking, something comes alive and someone's lifted up. I'll see you next week. Same time, same place in the will of the Lord. This is Robin Lines signing out. Thank you once again, Minister Keith Bell. Thank you once again to my attorney and friend and sister, Richette Perseni. Thanks, Chris, the incomparable producer. Have a good afternoon, everyone. Stay safe.